Let's begin with the big result, Mike. A vast majority of Duval County residents say they oppose JEA increasing its annual contribution to pay down the city's pension debt. This is a very timely result.
Yeah, it worked out fortuitously. The goal of UNF and this polling project is to contribute to the policy debate. We're not here just to do horse race stuff and grab headlines. And with the pension reform discussion going on, there's a task force meeting today. The last week, the mayor has come out very supportive of requiring JEA to increase their money. The public is not on board. You're talking over 70% of folks oppose this.
And they oppose it. Why? Because they worry that the tax increase will be passed on to them, that their electric bills will go up?
Absolutely. The JEA has come out and said, we can't do this without passing this on to the consumer. And the consumer looks and says, I don't want to pay for this in this regard.
And we'll go to your calls in just a moment at 549-2937 as we discuss UNF's latest poll. How do you think these numbers that you're releasing now this morning will affect the work of the Pension Reform, Retirement Reform Task Force, and whether they decide to even go forward with this idea to ask JEA to be part of the solution?
I don't know. I'm hopeful, and I think that either the city council or the mayor is going to look at this and be concerned that there is a widespread opposition and perhaps reassess some of their plans. They have an election coming up in a year, and people have memories. Maybe they're not long memories, but certainly long enough to remember something like this if they're really opposed to it.
On the other side of it, though, Mike, you found that there is some support for asking current and future public employees to pay more into the pension system, asking employees to work a little longer until they can start drawing benefits. Those are goals I think most people agree need to happen regardless, right?
Absolutely. And part of that is you need to keep track with the private sector. And people are seeing the traditional pension system disappear. It's becoming 401 matching systems. The idea that workers are contributing to their pension and their retirement is commonplace. So it's not at all surprising that they feel that the public sector employees, the firefighters and the police, ought to be on board with them as well.
And in just a moment, we'll go to your calls here on First Coast Connect as we discuss UNF's latest poll. What do you think the city's top priorities should be in 2014? 549-2937. You asked the voters this very question, Mike, and typically people say the economy and jobs. That's number one, but not this time.
Right. And I think that's not necessarily surprising. The economy has turned around. It's picked up a little bit, so it's not the biggest issue on people's mind. Obviously, it's still very important. The big three, if you will, education, crime, and the economy are leading the race. But we've had the past year, we've had some red flags with crime. There's been some increases. We've had some huge cases in the news, particularly last week. So it's not necessarily shocking that crime is on people's mind as well.
And by a slim margin, the people say improving education should be the city's top priority. That along with reducing the crime rate, that seems to be on people's minds more than anything else.
And think about it. Duval doesn't have the greatest reputation, even though there's spots with some really top-notch schools. But as a countywide organization, there's been some pressure. We've had some change and turnover in the last couple of years with the new superintendent. And it's something that people are concerned about, not only for their own kids, but also from the business sector. The idea that if you're going to come and start a company here, you're going to want a workforce and you need an educated workforce. And that starts in the public school system.
Here's another interesting one. People support extending the gas tax, the 6-cent gas tax. That's interesting.
Yeah. And this talks a little bit, it juxtaposes with the pension reform topic. The idea that people are okay with tax increases as long as they can see where they're going and they like what it's going to. And the idea that we can improve our roadways and improve our transportation, people tend to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, you asked Duval County voters whether they support the city passing an updated human rights ordinance. And by 65%, they say yes.
Yes. And this is another issue. The city council narrowly voted this down a year and a half ago. The issue is not going away. Literally this evening in Atlantic Beach, they're talking about passing this. Our neighbors to the south in St. Augustine have passed this unanimously. Support has only increased. Last year, we asked about this, and it was at 58%. this is one of those issues where, you know, you're going to want to be on the right side of history. And I think that the city council and the mayor ought to look at this closely.
And we want you to give us a call right now as we discuss UNF's latest poll, taking the pulse of the voters on a whole range of issues. Now, you also recently just conducted a poll on the mayoral and the city council elections that are coming up a year from now. You found that both the mayor and the city council have dropped in the public's approval. Yes?
The mayor's gone down about 11 points. He was up at 70 last year at this time. He's down to 59% approval rating. The city council's dropped a couple of points, but still in the mid-40s, which is very good for a legislature. And I think that points, you know, that's the type of polling data that the mayor can point to and say, hey, I've got great approval ratings. But folks that aren't supportive of the mayor can point to it and say, oh, yeah, but you're trending in the wrong direction. So it depends on your perspective about how you want to look at that.
And how what's the depth of Mayor Brown's support heading into reelection as the local Republicans try to coalesce around a candidate they plan to push opposing him? They still haven't been able to settle on a viable opponent. 60% approval for a sitting mayor is still, I would think, pretty strong.
It is pretty strong. The real issue is we ran head-to-head matchups with the mayor and Council President Gulliford, Sheriff Rutherford, Property Appraiser Overton, and Lenny Curry, the chair of the Republican Party.
The state Republican Party.
And so, but he has won all of those in our matchups. However, his support was only in the low to mid-40s. Lots of people are undecided. Many people have not made up their mind, want some, but it's another option. And that leads to, that's kind of a, if he was in the 50s or 60s in those head-to-head matchups, that would be a much better position for him to be in.
And now lots of calls flowing in as we discuss UNF's latest poll, 549-2937. Let's begin with Charlie at the Beaches. Hello, Charlie. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that we wouldn't be having, I don't think, the kinds of conversations we're having about the pensions if it wasn't for Mayor Brown. And I'm very pleased that we have the mayor we have. I think he's brought this to everyone's attention. He has ideas, and I don't think without him we'd be talking about it.
Charlie, thanks for that. Mike Bender.
Yeah, the mayor has made this one of his big issues. His plan last year didn't go very well. The city council rebuffed it and essentially said no. But the mayor is trying something different. And it's very clear that this is a long-term problem that the city needs to solve, or else we will be bogged down with all of our general fund revenue going to support these pensions.
And the previous mayor, John Payton, took a few whacks at this issue, too, due to the timing of it. This is an issue that the current mayor has to resolve.
Right. And I mean, we say these same things, though, at the national level. So, we have to solve Medicare. We have to solve Social Security. And it keeps getting, the can keeps getting kicked down the road. So, I mean, it's plausible that nothing gets done, but it would be much better if something did.
Let's go to Jen in Mandarin. Hi, Jen. Good morning to you.
Good morning to both of you. Regarding the poll, I think that, well, this weekend I had some guys come out and work on my farm, and I ran a Craigslist ad, and I had literally got probably 250 calls for what was a little bit above, minimum wage, $8, $10 if you work real hard, or no bucks if you need to be sent home. Mm-hmm. But my point is that there are just so many people without work who are hand-to-mouth looking for gas money just to go to look for a job. And it's just, I think it's very pathetic. I think under that, though, what really drives an economy and a culture is education. So, but on the immediate scene, we can't fix education quick enough to fix jobs. So one thing I would like to say, just real quickly, my husband is trying to get the school board involved in more what they used to call in our day, VOTEC, vocational technical schools. And
right.
He's in the heating and air conditioning business, and a lot of people make pretty good money in that trade, as well as electricians and plumbers. We all know that when we pay their bills. But my point is the schools, really, if you're not going to go to college, they just kind of drop you off, you know, in their concern. And I just would like to see people have more of an alternative if they're not going to go to college or can't afford that, that they don't necessarily have to work at McDonald's.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, and Jenna, so many people have called in and made that exact point when we discuss education. Thank you for pointing that out. I do believe that's something that the current superintendent is talking about. Thanks for that call, Jen.
Yeah, and part of this is, you know, how do you view education? Do you view education as job prep and job training, or do you view education differently? The idea that we need an educated citizenry, and based on that, then we can create, then we can grow. Those are two very different perspectives. And I don't know that that's a debate that gets talked about enough, or one that is anywhere close to being solved.
Let's go to John on the South Side. Hello, John. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air, John.
Melissa, thank you for taking my call. What I just want to inject here is just to use the term the pension tax. And think of it this way. You know, we are spending millions to bring people downtown, use Everbank as an example. Then at the same time, we are passing legislative actions that waive residency requirements for the Office of General Counsel, Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, and now for employees of the city of Jacksonville. So the thought is, if you want to bring people that are going to be subsidizing this taxpayer pension liability, you know, if someone is receiving a pension outside the state of Florida, how about a 50% tax? If you reside in Florida, it's 25%. But if you are in Duval County and we are subsidizing and maintaining that pension, then you have zero tax. Just a thought.
John, thanks for the call. You know, Mike, when you did this poll, you didn't ask people, what do you think should be done to solve the problem?
I didn't.
Because there's certainly no shortage of ideas out there.
I mean, the one thing you need to keep in mind is people are competing not just versus the private sector, but versus other public sector entities when it comes to recruiting talent for these jobs.
Yeah.
And if you put too many strings on it, think about that. You're 22, 23 years old. You want to take a job. Do you know where you're going to live 40 or 50 years from now? So you need to think about some of the long-term implications of this and what that means for recruitment of talent. JSO has trouble recruiting police officers as it is because of their pay scale.
Lots of tweets coming in. Yvonne, Jacksonville should invest in supporting and funding public art. A $22 return on every dollar invested equals more a quality of life, better jobs, tax revenue, etc. Here is a tweet from Jay. Does the survey ask about Angela Corey? She's an elected official as well.
She is. We did not. And we organized the survey prior to the Dunn case happening. If we had known what this would be, we might have asked a little bit more about her.
And we want your calls as we discuss the latest poll results from UNF's polling operation in their political science department. Interesting numbers coming out this morning where the voters stand on a whole range of issues. 549-2937 to join our conversation. Brenda on the South Side is with us. Hello, Brenda.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice talking to you.
You too.
Good morning, John. I am curious as to where the poll was done. Because I wasn't asked, because I think that the first responders are very special people, and they should pay a little bit more, but we ought to remember that those are the people we call when we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. Let's talk about how you got the poll results.
So we have a calling center at UNF, and we called a random selection of both landlines and cell phones as well of Duval County residents. There's almost 700,000 adult residents in Duval County. We couldn't call all of them, but we did call many of them, and we have a sample size of just over 500, which in the polling world, statistical significance is a completely reasonable number.
Yeah. You feel that it's a fair representation?
I think it's a very fair representation.
Where the people are.
Absolutely.
Curtis on the West Side. Hello, Curtis. How are you
Good
today?
Morning. I'm great, Melissa. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Morning.
My comment, I want to just piggyback on what John said earlier as a taxpayer. I have no problem with the tax increase to support things that this city needs. But my problem is that I would like to see it go towards the whole city, not one particular side of town because of the tax bracket over there. Every side of town should get their fair share.
Yeah.
And also, too, with the pension and the service with the police department, fire department, I have no problem with them making that feasible for everyone, as long as it is going to everyone. I do not want my tax dollars going to support anything that there is a racial tension, racial problem. It's unfair to the taxpayer that we should support organizations that are not above board.
Like what, Curtis?
Well, like for instance, the issues that we've had in the past years with the fire department and the noose hanging in there, all that should be squashed and dealt with. Promotions should be fair across the board. Police department, the same with that. My hands off to Sheriff Rutherford for the job he's doing. He's doing a great job. He goes wherever the crime is. It doesn't matter who doorstep it falls on. And I think that should be the effort of every organization that receives our tax dollars.
All right.
Just fair. Yeah, just be fair.
Thank you, Curtis. Thanks for those thoughts. And the Retirement Reform Task Force, Mike, has floated the trial balloon of a potential tax increase as a way to deal with this $1.7 billion. It's called an unfunded liability, but what it really is just a big, huge debt hole.
Well, and part of the things with pensions are, and the idea that they're based on these actuarial calculations of how long people are going to live, what it looks like 30 years. This is 30 years. This isn't like we owe $1.7 billion
today.
Tomorrow.
No,
right.
But it keeps accruing and accruing.
Correct. And there's a lot of problems with how pensions are managed and the rate of return that people expect, 7.5%. It's not entirely clear that that's a reasonable estimation, particularly if you see half of your investment collapse like we did maybe 5 or 6 years ago, then the 7% is only on half the base, and there's a lot of problems with that. But when you have these defined benefit plans, you need to plan for them. Part of the argument is in the public sector, these folks are doing dangerous, risky jobs that they are paid less than they would be in the private sector for, and because of that, we're reimbursing them on the back end. So that's something that we need to understand as taxpayers, that we are ultimately going to be on the hook for that one way or another.
And whether it's a tax increase to pay for pension obligations or whatever's on your mind, we want your calls as we discuss the results of UNF's latest poll on the top issues before the Duval County voters right now. 549-2937. Tom on the west side has called the show. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How about yourself?
Okay, thanks.
Anyway, yeah, 2 points I wanted to make. In terms of the direction I think we should be going in, yeah, obviously we need to increase the jobs and the revenue for the city, because the other thing that we need to do on the other side is to slow down the expansion of the city, because we have an infrastructure that we really can't afford anymore, and it just keeps getting bigger and more expensive.
Yeah.
As for the pensions, the one thing that people just seem to remember is one reason the pension benefits are the way they are is because the city is generally paid far less than the other sectors that are competing for these workers, so that was the draw to get people into the job.
Yeah, thank you, Tom, for that. When he talks about the city's infrastructure, roads, bridges, you found, Mike, and this was interesting, there is majority support for extending the gas tax to pay for these upgrades and upkeep.
Right. That observation is not unique. If you drive around Jacksonville, you understand that we have an aging infrastructure. We have some great new roads, but we have some roads that are in a little bit of disrepair, that are overextended as far as the traffic and the usage of them. And people are willing to kick in a few bucks if it means that they're going to get a product in return.
Now, local officials have split, haven't they, on whether to keep or scrap the gas tax?
Council President Gulford has proposed it, and it's been discussed. Generally speaking, there tends to be opposition and fear of taxes.
Yeah.
However, as the council did in the past year, they made a case, listen, if we're going to increase taxes, here's why we need to do so. And the public has been on board mostly. If they can make a good argument that, this money is important, it's going to make sure that the ferry gets maintained by JTA. So they could make a pitch, and I think the public will go along with it.
And let's take one more call. It's Dave on the south side. Hello, Dave. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm great, Melissa. Great show, great topic. I'd like to make the point that I was pretty much in a private sector 401k type of pension situation and had to start pulling that money out at the bottom of the recession. And everybody beats up on the unions and for their excessive demands and all that stuff. But on the other hand, the private sector retirement plans aren't all that great. They're not all they're cracked up to be. And, you know, when you start cutting people's compensation because there's a bunch of people out there that don't like taxes, you start creating a lot of problems. And pay for service is nice, and it works in the real world. And I think maybe the city and the folks here in town need to get together with their unionized people and help them communicate to the public that the service that the public is getting is worth the cost, so that people will be willing to pay for it. You know, you're trying to undo 30 years of underfunded pension funding here with what you're now calling an unfunded liability, which, frankly, I blame on previous administrations as gross mismanagement, and on both sides, but mostly on the side of the people that agreed to pay these benefits but then refused to fund them. So we need to get this political argument up to the level that is fiscally sound and fiscally mature and fiscally responsible. Because you got a lot of people out there who want something for nothing, and you can't get services from anybody if you're not willing to pay for it.
Thanks, Dave. Sure. Thanks. That's Dave on the South Side, and Mike tweets the show. It would help the city immensely if they paid current year pension obligations annually rather than in the future pay as you go. Lots of feedback on this.
Right. Well, one thing I do want to caution is Jacksonville is far from the only city in this state, in this country, much less states inclusive, that are facing the exact same situation. And in fact, Jacksonville's in better position than a number of cities, and it's in particularly cities of this size and smaller. So while it may not be a great situation to be in relative to other councils, relative to other governors and legislatures, we're not so bad.
Well, the complete poll results are out. Look for them. They will be released to lots of media outlets this week. Mike Binder, the pollster and UNF Assistant Professor of Political Science, thanks for giving us the heads up on this. Fascinating results, and we appreciate you sharing them with us.
Thanks for having me.